Well, please find your way to Matthew chapter 24, verse 32. Matthew 24, 32. We'll finish up this chapter today. We've been in it a little while. We're walking through the Olivet Discourse. This is Jesus' sermon on the end times. Jesus predicted the destruction of the temple. He said it would be laid flat, not one stone left upon another. So the disciples asked, "When will this happen? What are the signs of your coming, and what are the signs of the end times?" They didn't know about the church age to come after the resurrection of Jesus, so they figured if the temple is going to be destroyed, then it would not be long after that Jesus would come back and set up his kingdom on earth. So they put two questions in one. When will the temple be destroyed, and when will you come back? Jesus answered their questions by giving them some signs to look for and in order to know when the temple would be laid flat. And he also gave them an overall view of the tribulation period spoken of in Revelation to know when the end will come. Now with those signs, Jesus described one different event that would take place, a different sign of the times. He told them about the abomination of desolation, the time when the Antichrist will set up an idolatrous image in the temple. He will make a sacrifice to it and then declare that he himself is God. And after that proclamation, he will demand that all people worship him as God or be put to death. And at that very moment in time, that is when the great tribulation will happen on this earth. God will pour out his wrath on sinful, disobedient man, and with the Antichrist ruling on this earth, destruction, chaos, and loveless people will be the norm. Great tribulation will be worldwide. Now, Jesus is speaking to Israel here. He's speaking to the people who will be there in Judea on earth at this time, and he says, "Let the reader understand." Jesus said that in verse 15. "Let the reader understand." This may be a newsflash to many people, as I have done in this studies and found out what many people say about the end times, but there will be people who will get saved during the tribulation. There will be believers on earth during that time. There will be people who will be able to read and understand what Jesus is saying here in this text. They will see these events happening right before their very eyes, and they will put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And then at the end of that great tribulation that happens, Jesus will return. That is his second coming. Verse 27 says, "For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." Jesus says, "When I come back, everyone will know that I have arrived." His second coming will be quick. It will be visible from all ends of the earth. There will be no doubt that the true Christ is coming from heaven. It will be instant and glorious. "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him," Revelation 1:7. The whole world will know that Jesus has returned to set up his kingdom on earth. And when Jesus comes back with his saints, for the ones who have trusted in Jesus in that time, there will be praise. And for the ones who have not, there will be judgment. A time of joy and yet a time of sorrow. Now, the church, like I've said, will have been raptured prior to the tribulation. The church will not be here during that time, and I'm going to explain that in a little bit. But for now, we're going to continue our walk through the text, and we'll come back to that point. Jesus continues with his teaching. He gives another parable. A way in which he loved to teach. He loved to teach with parables. Look at verse 32. "From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." From the fig tree, learn. Jesus is saying, apply what I have just taught you. You can tell the seasons by looking at the fig tree. You know that summer is near just by looking at the fig tree. So in the same way, when you see all of what I said would happen, know that the time is near. He's telling his people who will be here in the future, be prepared. That's what he's saying. Be watchful and be faithful. That's a good principle for all believers to live by, right? Even though we will not be on the earth at this time, we should always be faithful and alert, being aware of the times we are in, and also knowing that that we are not in the end times that are written in this text, as many have proclaimed. You have to know that, because there's some bad teaching out here on this stuff. I just want you to know that I'm not one of those people who tries to put modern-day events into prophecies. Many try to do that. I'm not going to say, hey, Jesus is coming back soon because we see the European Union forming, just like it said in the Bible. Well, Britain leaving the Union puts a little kink in that one. I'm not going to say that just because the world is using credit cards, that means that we will have a cashless society like the Bible says. So do you see what I'm saying? All of these things may be a sign of things to come. The world is changing all the time. The smartphone is already taking the place of the credit cards, you know? So for the ones who said that the credit card means that the tribulation is going to happen tomorrow, or that if you got a credit card, that's the mark of the beast, well, they kind of got to back off that one, don't they? You can't make end-time predictions by standing on one event. The world changes all the time. You know, many of them are signs to make us think, signs of the things to come, signs to make us aware. But one event does not mean the end is here, as many like to proclaim. Here's an example of a sign. In 1948, Israel became a nation again with its own land, government, currency, and stamps. All right? Israel becoming a nation is something that is needed in order for the prophecies to take place. It is a sign. But you can't say that Jesus is coming back in 5 years because of that one event. Have peace in your hearts. Israel's been a nation for 68 years now. You see, so be aware. Beware of that kind of teaching, all right? No one knows the day or the hour of the return of Christ. But we can see these things that are working towards that moment. We can see that. Now, as far as modern-day prophecy, here's one truth I will stand on. Y'all write this one down. You ready? One statement I will make that you can bank on. Every day that we get out of bed is one day closer to the return of Jesus. Amen? I will go as far as to say that we are closer to the return of Christ than we have ever been. Amen? Those are my predictions. That's all I got to say about that. Verse 34, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Well, there's some chapters written on who is this generation that will not pass. Some say, well, it's the people that Jesus was speaking to. Well, they're dead. So we know that's not true. Some said that Jesus was talking about the Jewish race, that they would endure to the end. Well, God has always promised that that there was always be a Jewish remnant, right, from the beginning. So who is this generation? Well, I believe that Jesus is stating that the ones who see the birth pain start that we learned about a couple weeks ago will be alive when Jesus returns. In other words, these events will happen in one generation's lifetime. And it will be the generation of Jews and Gentiles that are left on this earth after the rapture happens. Once the rapture takes place, within that generation's time, they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds to set up his kingdom on earth. Take heed, learn, watch, know that what I say will happen, will happen, will happen Jesus says. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass. Read and understand and know. Know that the truth will stand throughout all eternity. And the good news about that is the truth does win in the end. You know, we don't think it will, but it will. It does. Jesus says, be watchful, be prepared, be faithful. Because as far as the exact day or hour that this event will take place, no one knows. Verse 36. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. No one knows the timing of when Jesus will return. You see, Jesus gave general signs to watch for regarding the coming and the end, but here he clearly states that the exact day or hour is not known by any man or any angel. He even says that the Son himself does not know. Now, the point of this text is that no one will know the day or hour, right? But many out there put the focus on the statement that Jesus did not know when. In other words, if Jesus is the all-knowing God, then why didn't he know? Is he not God? Well, write this verse in your margins here. I believe Philippians 2:5-8 answers that question, a text we all know. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, listen, he humbled himself by coming obedient to the Father to the point of death, even death on a cross. In our text here in Matthew, Jesus is just affirming his limitations as a man. Okay? Jesus is affirming the scriptures. Jesus became a man, yes. God became a man for us, yes. He voluntarily gave up the unlimited use of his divine attributes for us. He humbled himself. In other words, when Jesus became a man, he laid aside his divine prerogatives and submitted to the Father's will. That's what he did, even to the point of dying on the cross. And so because of his submission to the Father, only the Father knows the exact time when Jesus will return. Only the Father knows the day or the hour. But look, the main point of this text is that no one knows but the Father. That's the point of it. Only the Father knows the time, and you know what? He will reveal it when he wills. So listen, when you hear someone say, Jesus is coming back on a certain day and time, flee from that. False teachers, they don't know. You know, the pride of man amazes me sometimes. Jesus made it clear. No man knows, right? Just in case any man says he's got some insight from an angel, Jesus said the angels don't know. Just in case some man says he has received some secret knowledge from God, Jesus said if God did not reveal the time to his own son, I'm sure he didn't give it to some guy in a pickup truck. Yet time after time, we hear people predicting the return of Jesus. They say they have broken some numbers code in the Bible. No, they're wrong. They say they received a divine revelation from God. No, they're wrong. Time after time, prediction after prediction, wrong, wrong, wrong. It's so clear in Scripture. It's so clear. No one knows. No one can predict the second coming. What Jesus is teaching here in this text is that every person should be prepared for the return of Jesus at any moment. Right? Now, keep in mind, the text is talking about the second coming, the end times. So the people in the future are to be prepared at all times. Be prepared. That's a lesson to be shared, said Japhet the goat. Look that one up. But also for the people who are alive today, okay? No one knows when the rapture will take place. Nobody knows that. Jesus can come for his children at any moment. Nothing in Scripture has to be fulfilled in order for Jesus to bring his bride home. So we as believers are to live our lives like Jesus would come for us at any moment. We are to be prepared. Just like Paul was, he lived and wrote as if Jesus could call his church home in the blink of an eye. Even back then, Paul believed Jesus would bring his children home at any moment. But here in this text, Jesus is saying, listen, he's saying, even with all these indisputable signs and precisely designated periods, the exact day and hour of the second coming will not be known by any human beings. It will not be known. It will happen when no one thinks it will. Verse 40. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken away and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken away and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that the master of the house, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would have not left his house, let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Be ready. You don't know when Jesus is coming, so live your life as if he may come at any moment. Jesus is giving warning to all. Be prepared, for judgment is coming at a time when people least expect it. And don't miss that point. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back to judge the unrighteous, just like he did in Noah's day. Look, where it says two men in the field, one be taken away. The one that's taken away at the second coming is not being raptured. The one being taken away are the wicked whom the Lord will take away in judgment. The ones that are left on this earth at the second coming are believers who will be left on the earth to populate the kingdom of Jesus Christ in physical bodies. They will be the ones to populate the earth during the 1,000-year reign. So when Jesus comes back, when he talks about ones taken, ones left, the wicked were taken away. The wicked were taken away in the judgment, and Noah was the one left on earth, remember? He didn't take Noah away. He left Noah. The wicked will also be judged and removed when Christ returns, and the righteous will be left behind to become his subjects of the kingdom. The second coming is a time of judgment, and it will happen when people least expect it. Now, a lot of people say, well, they say that God didn't give the exact time because people would do as they want to do, and then just when the time gets near, they will get right with God. Some may. And they say, or that people may go on sinning even more if they know they could sin right up to that point and didn't return and then repent when Christ, just before the return of Christ. You know what I say? Forget that. Forget thinking that you got time to live a sinful life, then accept Jesus before he comes to judge. Because the truth is, you may die in the next minute. Bottom line, it doesn't matter when the church will be raptured. It doesn't matter what time the second coming will happen. What matters is that no one is guaranteed another minute of life. You better get right with God now, because no one knows when they will be, when they will take their last breath. You remember the rich man in Luke filled his barns and said, "Eat, drink, be merry." And God said, "You fool, this night your soul is required of you." Rapture, second coming, the timing of either one of these did not matter to the rich man. Nor did it matter to the people who drowned in the flood back in Noah's day. Nor does it matter to the ones who have died over the years. The only timing anyone should be worried about is when will your time run out, because your soul could be required of you at this very moment. I say that because I've seen so many people get caught up in the end times, trying to predict this, trying to predict that. That's what Jesus told his people to spend their time doing. He said, be aware, be watchful, but be faithful. Know these things are going to happen. Be prepared. Be faithful and do what I've told you to do. Go proclaim the good news. We're to continue to live our lives for God, no matter what the future holds. Amen? Every day we live our lives for God, no matter what the future holds. But the sad truth is, many think they have plenty of time. They think they do. Verse 45, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at their proper time? Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, in an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, that's pretty self-explanatory. We have the faithful and wise. That's what it says, faithful and wise servant. He doesn't know when his master is returning, but apparently that doesn't concern him at all. He's committed to doing what the master has instructed him to do. So he knows that when the master returns, whenever that is, he will see the servant doing what he's supposed to be doing. The master has this servant's heart, right? This servant can be trusted. He's not trying to see what he can get away with. He's faithful and he will do what the master has called him to do, whether the master is there or not. The master has his heart. You know, the world has this saying, when the cat's away, the mice will play. Kind of sad we're viewed that way, aren't we? Kind of sad. Hey, here's a good way to live. In everything we do, we should ask ourselves, if Jesus was to come back at that very moment, is this what I want Jesus to catch me doing? I hope I'm reading my Bible. I'm being faithful, Lord. But on the other hand, we have the wicked servant who says to himself, oh, the master's delayed. He ain't been here in a while. I could do what I want. The rules don't matter anymore. Master's not here. And the wicked servant ends up letting his sinful heart take over his life, and before he knows it, before he has time to clean everything up, before he takes time to make it look like he was doing what he was instructed to do, in walks the master. And he will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. He will send them to the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a pretty graphic parable. But Jesus wants everyone to know, hey, the first time I came, the first time Jesus came, he came with love and grace. But when he comes the second time, he's coming with judgment and condemnation. There will be no more second chances. Those who have rejected Christ will be sent to a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Pretty graphic parable. But we've seen that here. The tribulation time will be a time of death and destruction like this world has never seen and will never see again. But what is even sadder is that there will be people who have rejected the love of God and will be sent to eternal damnation. They will be sent to a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. But I got some good news. I'm not going to end on that. I'm going to talk about the rapture of the church just for a second and when it will take place. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. 1 Corinthians 15, 51-53. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on an immortality. Now, this is where we get the rapture from. These are, you know, there's more verses, a couple more verses, but these two are sufficient to give us the rapture. Now, these verses all speak of the Lord bringing his saints home, right? He's coming to earth. He's going to call his ones who are dead first, then the ones who are alive. We're going to meet him in the air. The point to make is that when this happens, it's without the mention of judgment. Okay, so this event has to be separate from the second coming, which we've just studied, and when Jesus comes to judge. Now, the big question everyone has, when will this happen? Will it happen before tribulation, in the middle of tribulation, at the end of tribulation? Everyone wants to know, is the church going to be here during tribulation? Well, as you heard me say a few times, I'm a pre-tribber. That means I believe the church will be raptured before tribulation. And here's why. In the book of Revelation, the church is written about in chapters 2 and 3. In chapters 4 and 5, the church is in heaven. In chapters 6 through 18, tribulation breaks out on the earth and the church is never mentioned. Pretty good evidence. But the one thing that really sealed me as a pre-tribber is what I learned here in Matthew. So stick with me, all right? Y'all pay attention. There will be people who have been saved on the earth during the tribulation, who will get saved on the earth during the tribulation, and they will be alive when God sets up his thousand-year reign. There will be marriage and there will be births during that thousand-year reign. Now, with that said, I got a question for you. If all the believers are raptured at the end of tribulation, at the second coming, if all the believers are raptured and taken off the earth, who's left to populate the kingdom? We've learned that when Jesus comes back, he's going to destroy all the wicked. Well, if Jesus destroys all the wicked and the believers are with him, then there's nobody left on earth to populate the kingdom for the thousand-year reign. If all believers are raptured at the second coming, they will all receive their glorified bodies. After they are glorified, there will no longer be marriage or birth among those people. So the bottom line is, the rapture has to take place prior to the second coming. God will snatch up his church. Tribulation will happen. People will get saved during the tribulation. Jesus will return with his saints. Remember, he's coming back with his saints, not for the saints, at the end of tribulation. He will judge and destroy all the wicked, and then he will set up his kingdom on earth. And all those who were saved during the tribulation will be left on the earth to populate it during the 1,000-year reign. So that's why I'm a pre-tribber. If you don't agree, let's talk. Let's talk about it. So the timeline I gave you last week. The rapture of the church can happen at any time. Nothing in Scripture has to be fulfilled for the rapture to happen. The tribulation will begin, and the Antichrist will make a 7-year agreement with Israel. After 3.5 years, he breaks that agreement. He moves to Jerusalem and sets up his image in the temple. He then begins to control the world and forces all people to worship and obey him. And at this time, God will send a great tribulation upon the earth. The nations gathered Armageddon to fight the Antichrist in Israel, but when they see the sign of Christ coming, they unite to fight him. But Jesus returns to the earth, defeats his enemies, destroys all the wicked, is received by the Jews, and establishes his kingdom on earth. God will reign on this earth for 1,000 years. That's how Jesus told his disciples that the world would know when he's coming back. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the comfort of knowing that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Whether through the tribulations that we go through in our time here, or wherever you will have us, we know you are with us. So God, we just praise you for your word, and we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.